I want to talk about faith and focus this morning. You know, Jesus asked the question in Luke 18, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, will he find active dependency on him when he comes? Do you know that he's coming? You know, we're heading towards Christmas and celebrating his first arrival and all that that means for the believer. It's one of those ongoing reinforcements that history bears out that Jesus Christ came into the world. You can just look at the record of history, and our calendar is different because Christ came into the world. But the question is, are we as eager as the three magi from the east looking to his star, pointing to the true King's birth? Do we have that type of expectation in our thinking? Chris, making sure that this microphone is off. They're muted? Okay. So really, we want to kind of have this expectation, especially as we head towards Christmas. But you realize that just because the culture and the calendar change sort of emphasis, and we see, I mean, we're just pushed on with Christmas carols now and all these things, and then December 26th, it goes to blank, right? And so, you know, it plays with our emotions sometimes, but you can live now before Christmas. You can live in July. You can live in January. You can live in April with expectancy that God wants to work in your situation, in your life. When you think of the word faith, you may have some immediate thoughts that come to mind. Some thoughts that are out there on faith are not necessarily scriptural. They sound like this. Perhaps you've thought these same things. Other people have faith, but faith doesn't come easy for me. In other words, I'll take a pass. Some amount of faith is okay, but just don't have too much. You know, this is sort of the cautious person, the cautious one. I knew a guy. See, we all know a guy, right? I knew a guy that seemed to have a lot of faith. He seemed to trust God for everything. And we classify this guy as the super spiritual one. Smart people don't need faith because they're smart. In other words, too smart for faith. In other words, this is the intellectual. I've thought through this stuff. Don't need faith. Faith in Bible times was easier because that's all that they had. We now have Google. You know, no faith needed, right? Wrong. And so it's much different today. All of these are potentially areas that we ourselves have, let's just be honest, have defaulted to from time to time. I'll take a pass. It's too much. The cautious one, you know, I'm not going to go there. The super spiritual one, I can't be like him. The intellectual, I reason through everything. And being in a region where there's just a lot of emphasis on education and, you know, people want to be so smart and kind of smarter than God and all that stuff. And then it's like, well, the Bible, you know, if we lived in the Bible times, we would have had that faith. Okay. Just imagine a sea that's about to part and 6 million people are going to walk through. Okay. I'd be scared to death, right? But see, God's faithful and he keeps his word. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, or 1 through 6, we're going to get there. And I want to spend a couple of weeks looking at faith. Notice I did not say a couple of months. Some of you are like, he's into a long sermon series. No, I'm going to spend a few weeks, and this has been on my heart this week. Part of it had been at being at the funeral and how important faith really is. Faith is vitally important in our darkest hour. You know, are you going to remember what you believed in the light in the dark? When you're here this morning and all this sounds great, yeah, and it's good, and a thumbs up to the pastor and thumbs up to the word of God, are you going to believe this? And God does give grace for the place, so let me just say that too. There are times where we don't know what's around the corner, but God is faithful, and we need to remember that. And he has verified his faithfulness in the record of his word. Scripture teaches that the righteous man will live by faith. Faith here means firm persuasion, assurance, belief, confidence in the truth. After Jesus was resurrected, he shows up bodily. minus Thomas. Thomas isn't there on this first occasion. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, the disciples behind shut door, guess who shows up? Right in front of them. And Jesus reveals that he is the resurrected one to them once again. Students of the Bible will notice this theme throughout the pages of Scripture. The righteous person, the person who's right with God, will live by faith. Isn't that awesome that God knows if you've done that? That is so important that we know that. You can try to prove it to everybody else, but you know who really sees your heart is God. God knows if you've trusted him. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, whose name means embracer of God. Are you an embracer of God? Have you actually wrapped your arms around his omnipotence and say, "I need you. I believe you. I trust you. I know what you've done. I see the evidence of your handiwork in all of creation. And I see the love that you've poured out through your son. I embrace you. I believe you." And Habakkuk would remind Israel of this truth and show them how their own lack of trust in the Lord, bent on evil, God used a Babylonian regime as his agent of judgment against Israel for their sins of idolatry and rebellion. And it put them in captivity for 70 years. But throughout that, Habakkuk would say, "The just shall live by faith." You can be in the darkest times in your life, but still be trusting God. And that's so important that we would remember that. It's not that everything has to be perfect for you to trust God. And that goes for this guy right here. There are times in my own life I say, you know, you just don't want anything to break, right? You ever feel like everything's just good right now. You know, nothing can break. But things break and life happens and we find ourselves sometimes just once again in a mess. But God is faithful. You know that God loves to work in us during our messes if we let him? The tendency that we can have is to try to get the mess corrected and then I'll finally walk with God. You know what? God wants you to walk with him during the difficult time. Amen? Amen. No sleeping. This is my water. I'll wake you up. I have an ability to do that, you know. I shout. The writer of Hebrews quotes Habakkuk, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," the author of Hebrews writes, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Isn't it awesome to know that God would take pleasure in us? But perhaps if we draw back, God would not delight in us. Some people take that too far and think, "Oh my goodness, like he's like left me altogether." No, but isn't it awesome that God wants to take pleasure in you? He wants to manifest his power in you. He wants you so attached in your mind and heart to what Christ did for you that you would never get that out of your mind. You'd never get that out of your thinking. That even in the most difficult moments, you know one thing is true. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I trust that you and I will learn to hold on to that. None of us, not one person in this room, not one person on planet Earth, is off the hook when it comes to responding to God by faith. And then we are urged to continue to live by faith. Not only are you saved by faith, you and I are to live by faith. Living by faith is continuing to renew your mind in what God did for you. And get that etched in your mind of how he demonstrated his love for you. And we're going to look at some of that this morning. Not only are we saved by faith in Jesus, we must learn to continue to walk by faith even when everything around us might be telling us not to do that. And those five things that I put up earlier this morning, those are the type of things that we just want to be sort of, we really just want to get out of here without issues, right? That's really the cry of our heart, I believe, as people. But we are not. Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." The book of Hebrews is a build-up. It is an encouragement of what God has already done through Jesus for us. And the warning is, don't throw away your confidence. Don't give it away. because it is, with it is a great reward. Some of us need to be reminded of that. Jesus says, I am coming and my reward is with me. Do you have your eyes fixed on him? Is your mind and heart fixed on this wonderful friendship that you can have with God? Isn't it good that God would call you his friend? He's my friend. She's my friend. I see their faith. I see their trust. They walk with me. They talk with me. Sing some of those wonderful hymns back to yourself. Sometimes they have a tendency to forget, and we just get preoccupied in 20, whatever century, first century America, because everything's so accessible. I pull out my phone. I can get anything I need. I can order every Christmas present from right here, right? Never have to leave my home. I mean, just the things that we've become so accustomed to, and some of this has bled into our, I believe, our lack of really living by faith. And hey, this guy has a smartphone. Sometimes it doesn't feel very smart, let me tell you. But there are times where, you know, in our own life, in our own experience, we are become dependent upon things that I think sometimes rob us from this walk and this intimacy with Jesus. I'm not anti-cell phone or computer, but let's be careful that we have become so accustomed to getting all of our own needs met that we forget the one who's the one who truly meets our needs. On the authority of the God of Scripture, guaranteed by Jesus who died in the place of sinners, who loved us, who washed us with his own blood, who intercedes for us, who understands all our weaknesses, who supplies each of us with Holy Spirit resources and everlasting comfort through the washing of the word. If you don't get anything else out of this message, hear this. If God be for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things, says the word? That alone should build your faith. That alone should build someone's faith that's just kind of like undeveloped. That if you could get a glimpse of the matchless love of God for you, a sinner who can be made a saint in a moment's breath. It's, dear God, I know that I brought sin into this world, not my fault, but I don't want to leave with this sin. I know who you've provided. You've provided your only son, Jesus Christ, to remove that. And by faith, I trust that you've done that for me. You realize that's righteousness. That's gifted righteousness that comes into the life of any person. And so then after that, you know what? Some of us just start to get tripped up. Oh my goodness, I never quite saw this person inside here. But see, let God fortify you with his word so that you would become more able to live out your Christian life, more able to be not blown off course. And so Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6, these are going to be up on the screens here. So let's lift our eyes to the screens. If you have your Bible, you can certainly turn there too. This is the catalog of the heroes of the faith. You realize that a lot of these guys had big failure in their life, but that's not mentioned here. It's how they trusted God. Take heart, believer. I think you're beating yourself up sometimes about your own failure more than anyone else's, because God certainly has forgiven you, and that's the power of the cross. Sometimes this gospel message is so hard for us to get our mind around, because in this realm, we don't think this way. But in God's amazing economy and how he can make things right, because he can do that and he has a provision for that, we would want to be those who go with God. We want to be those who know how to enjoy what he's given, that you would be energized to serve the Lord, that you would recognize this great love. And these verses here kind of paint this amazing picture of creation, salvation, and glorification in these six verses. This should be every believer's hope. Every believer should wrap their mind and heart around this. The scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And those elders are going to be mentioned in the next 30-something verses. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A couple of notes I put on the back of your bulletin. In my world, everything's a three-point outline. It's just, okay, sometimes we try to consolidate our grocery list to three categories. You know, okay, we got. So yeah, I live in the world of threes, but it gives you a little bit of, if you're a note taker, maybe you want to jot down some notes this morning. You know, most of us at times will think that, you know, there's a lot of religious terminology that hits our ears. In the course of a week, you might hear somebody say something that sounds kind of spiritual. I had people come into the church recently, and she said to me, "I'm spiritual." Well, I don't really know what she means by that. I mean, we are spiritual beings, right? Jesus says if we're going to worship him, we're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. So I'm not trying to poo-poo that people may have some spiritual thoughts about life and all that. But when we talk about faith that God sees, God is expecting us to place faith in him because of already what he has revealed. His character, his demonstration, his evidence of what he's done. So faith is not blind as a Christian. You know, you can hear it said, just have more faith, just have more faith. Well, what are you asking that person to have faith in? Are you talking about have faith in the one who raises the dead? Then I want to believe him. If you're going to talk about a God who can speak the worlds and the universe into existence, then I want to believe him. I want to go on the record that God has already done things and I trust him. Not because I'm just trying to generate some emotion of faith and some strong energy that kind of feels good. It sort of makes me feel better. We live in the feeling day. Everybody wants to feel good. Is your faith established on bedrock truth that you just won't let anything get in the way of that? You're not going in any other direction because you're placing faith, and God sees that faith, and he says to the person who receives what I've done for them, I declare them perfectly righteous. Do you realize that when God sees the Christian, he sees one as righteous as his own son? Jesus never sinned. Sinless blood was in his body, and that blood flowed off that cross. As we watched a week ago with Mark Somer, who created this visual of blood flowing off the brow of our Savior and off of his hands and off of his feet, and what it would have been like to actually see that was precious blood flowing out of his body. And that blood was so pure that it can cleanse every unrighteous thing in any human heart once and for all. And that's what this book of Hebrews is all about. It's saying that, you know, these people who didn't know, they believed God, but the Christian today, we have the full evidence that we serve a risen Savior, one who gave up his life and died for us. And so now faith is the substance, the ingredients of things hoped for. In other words, we're hoping for what God has promised. The evidence, the manifestation. You know, the idea that 1 John says that, you know, this love has been manifested in his son. When you think about the resurrected Christ, you want to think of one who God had done for you. That's how this relationship should begin to be taken root in our own hearts this morning. This Jesus did it for me. And I'm going to believe that. This is the stuff that delights the heart of God. Do you know that God loves to forgive his enemies? He takes great delight. Some of us think, like, I'm not an enemy of God. Well, the fact that every person who has sin in them, in God's eyes, they're an enemy because they are not perfectly pure as he is pure. And he says, I love this world so much. I am going to send my own son in all scripture, all the Old Testament sacrificial system, all of it. And God's foreordained plan knew that he would send his son. Jesus is not plan B. He is plan A. God knew he would send his son. And we need to appreciate the way that God chose to give righteousness to people. Because guess what? You don't have to earn it. The only thing you have to do is receive it. You know that every day you and I can walk around and say, I'm a righteous person. Yeah, not always thinking righteously, but I am a righteous person on the authority of the Word of God. Do you enjoy your righteous status? That should, like, I've done this before, but that should take this thing and make it like, bingo, you know, huge and happy. I'm not saying you're not going to have a bad day, but quiet your own heart. Rejoice, learn to rejoice in the Lord. And God delights when he sees faith in how he's revealed himself, how he has demonstrated his great love for us. And you realize that these elders before, when you look at this list, and I would encourage you on a Sunday afternoon, and some of you won't do this during the Pats game, I know that, and we will be out of here by 1 o'clock or just before a pregame. Sorry, Bob. Maybe spend an afternoon. I've been saying this. Spend an afternoon reading God's Word. Monday through Friday for a lot of us is crazy. But maybe you need to take some time on an afternoon like a Sunday and read the Scripture. Take what I've shared and read it for yourself. Open up your own Bible. You got a phone? Bible Gateway is a wonderful app. If you got a paper Bible, it's going to be there. Hebrews chapter 11, it shows you, chronicles all these people who lived by faith and they didn't necessarily receive the promise. They were waiting for it. They died waiting for that promise, and God is so pleased. How about us who have so much more to go on? We have so much more now. We have all these scriptures. And see, you have to keep in mind that God still has a plan for the Jewish people. And does he ever want them to believe the gospel that was initially given to them to steward and to bring to the world? But they were set aside. Now this gospel goes out to a Gentile. People who are formerly not a people. But God calls these people his church, his beloved ones, his blood purchased ones. Are you blood purchased today by Jesus? You should just be thinking, I am, and I'm rejoicing in that, and nothing is going to change what God did. God changed your address. He changed it because that's what he does through his son. And look at this. God wants us to look how, when we see that faith is not blind, you look at the evidence. Colossians talks about that Christ spoke the worlds. He formed the worlds. That our Savior is the one who formed creation. And so when we think about that, we're not talking about our faith being a blind faith. We're looking at the God of all creation who did this. We're looking at our Savior who was intimately involved in the creation of the world. Look at that night sky sometimes. It is baffling. The size of this universe is just amazing. And that God would love this planet Earth so much that Jesus would make a visit. 33 years of his life would be spent on planet Earth. The planet that he formed, the one that he says, they're too valuable to me for me to let them not have an opportunity to know me. Sometimes you will not know the grace of God until you receive Jesus Christ. It just can't be you, because you can't see. We are blind until that time. The moment you place faith in Christ, I believe those scales begin to get lifted. And we may spend our days kind of realizing, do I realize what he did for me? This should just be one of those things that we never, ever get tired of hearing that old, old story. Some of these hymns you should just become acquainted with because they remind you of the old, old story. Somebody was saying to me this morning that there's a video out on YouTube about what the devil is trying to do to America. And this video was produced in 1965. And he says, if I was the devil, I would do this. And you realize that so many of these things have happened. You know, bring in rock music to the church. We would kind of forget. We would just be merged into the rest of the culture. And now it's everything so, you know, we got to be so hip and cool. And, you know, but sometimes we miss the magnificence of what our Savior did for us. If we just make it so, it's hip and cool and this is all we do. And, you know, and I love church and I love the environment that we get to worship in. And I'm not saying that there isn't good things happening in other churches in any way, shape, or form. But sometimes I think we forgot this beloved story of God, and to place faith in him in such a way that it changes the way that there's things that I don't want to listen to anymore as a Christian. I don't want to watch things anymore because it tears me down. It just tears me down. Sometimes I want to blow that TV up, but I won't. I'm just thinking because, you know, you got to be very selective in what you fill your mind with today. I don't want to be pulled down. God saved me from that wretched pit. And I'm going to spend my days walking by faith and trusting him. And faith is seen in the past. Verse 4 of chapter Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Someone's like, oh, God's critical here. He didn't take Cain's sacrifice. Guess what? Vegetables and his harvest doesn't cleanse sin. Guess what cleanses sin? Blood. And Abel brought a blood sacrifice that pointed to Jesus. And that's why it was a more excellent sacrifice. Don't you think Cain and Abel knew how to bring the right sacrifice? One chose not to, one did. One's offering was approved, Abel's offering, because it still speaks because it has blood behind it. And we're not morbid about this because blood was shed once and for all, and we are rejoicing. The only time that we really talk about the blood is at the communion service, because we're once again celebrating that it was real physical blood. It was the Savior's blood that was shed for us. And we should just rejoice in that all the more. See, the Bible says that when you see Jesus, you will be like him. This body of death is going to be turned into something glorious for the believer. And God's promised to do that. Just like we know he came the first time, are you expecting him the second time? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, though he being dead, still speaks. This is the Old Testament example of offering the right sacrifice. That's why when people show up on heaven's doorstep and they have the wrong sacrifice, it's not good. Because one sacrifice was given once and for all. And it's good for everyone. God knows how to cover his people. He knows how to cover sin. And he did that. So with point number two there, you see that even in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, that Abel shows us the way of salvation. We have the evidence in the first three verses of what God did in creation, that he formed the world, but he spoke it into existence. And then he provides in what now has become a sin-cursed world a way of dealing with and atoning for sin in. And Abel is the way that was verified. And God is still holding Abel up as an example. And I love what it says in Genesis chapter 5, which is also spoken here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Wow. One day here, one day gone in the presence of the Lord. Does that not speak about the rapture of the church? Does that not give a little bit of a preview that could be every Christian's experience? Do you realize that God never, ever wanted the consciousness of the rapture to be out of the thinking of the believer? Because that's a truth. Jesus has the power. If he has the power to call this world into an existence, does he not have the power to take his bride off planet Earth before the great and terrible day of the Lord? This is the power of our God. And we worship him because he's so amazing. And we want to always be thinking that, you know, as the world gets really weird, I'm telling you, I look at something, I'm like, can it get any crazier? It just seems to be crazy. And again, I default back to what Paul says, in the latter times, difficult times will come. You know what? And I just have to remember that it's okay. It's okay that don't have to I don't have to lose hope in these days. I can have the hope of hopes. Christians need to know their hope and live by God, expecting what God says he will do. Do you believe Jesus came the first time? Yes. Right. The calendar bears that out. History bears that out. He came. Do you believe Christ was resurrected? Yes. Do you believe he's coming again? Yes. Amen. We're not done yet. Okay. We're close. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. You can see how its sin ultimately did to these long lives early in Genesis. Now, the average age of a human being is about 70, 80, maybe 90 years. And Moses would even talk about that in Psalm chapter 90. But these early days of human life on earth, these people had long periods to walk with God. But in this record in Genesis, it's like it says, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. But then you get to Enoch, and it says, and he was taken. It's so sweet. That's why, believer, today, if you're in Christ this morning, you have the hope of hopes. And it delights the heart of God that you remind yourself of this hope. Scripture would say here, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. There are times in my life as a pastor, a pastor has to be real long-suffering, because I might see something and I might say, I think you should believe this too, just the way I see it. But you know what? If I'm honest, some of the stuff that I've worked through over my lifetime, it's taken a lifetime, okay? I'm going to be 50 in 2 months. But the struggles that I, in my own life, had to develop my faith. So I need to remember, I need to be long-suffering. But there are times where I think somebody's making such progress, that this is such a sweet opportunity for them to grow and then to completely trust God here, because this is a hard situation. And somehow they tank. They sort of give up their confidence, and I don't really know if God's there. And again, who of us hasn't felt that way, right? The scripture has records of the psalmist who felt that way. But the problem is, if you stay that way and you let yourself decline into a depression and stay in that funk, it's going to take a lot more to lift you up. That's why every day you should renew yourself in the scriptures. And start always with Jesus. If that's the only thing you can start with every day, is that he loved me and he died for me, that should be enough to lift up your soul. That's why we have prayer meeting on Thursday nights now. We may be moving that, but right now it's Thursday nights. You know what? Come in for prayer meeting because you need prayer. Come in so that we could pray for you. It's like, oh, prayer's for the super spiritual people. No, it's not. It's for the weak people. It's for the church that says we need the power of God in our lives, and we don't want to. I don't want to commit to 2019 without God. I don't want to do all that we just did in 2018 without God. We did some great things in 2018, but I need as much power from God to do this so that I could stay focused on what he would want to do in this church, in and through his people, that this pastor who professed last week that he's a detailsaholic and is working on that, is recognizing that I want the Spirit's power. And I may spend my every breath as a pastor learning to let God have more of my tendency to want to be in the mix and everything. And I am an administrator, and I'm not gonna throw that gift away. God gave me that gift, but I also want to be respectful of people and work more of the giftedness that's within this body to come to the surface, so that if this church is to leave this building and to go into another place at some point, that we've built it and fortified it because God has put his Spirit in each of these people who understand their mission as a believer, and they want to maximize that for his full glory. That's what this is about. Faith is what pleases God. It delights the heart of God when we trust him. Scripture's very clear here, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are times I feel so undeserving, but God throws me a huge blessing. He just pours it on me. He lets it work out. I mean, he brought today Chris Taves again into my life to fix these blown TVs that wouldn't turn on. And I say, God, thank you. I see God's hand in so many things in this church, and I'm not going to stop seeing it. And I'm going to rejoice because I know if I keep my eyes thinking about God and the things that he's doing in you, you're going to get blessed. I want to be the uncritical pastor. I want to be the guy who's, sees this as possible, what God wants to do. And hope-filled, and recognizing that, you know what, there are guidelines here, but we want to do this God's way, and together we can do great things for him. I love what the apostle says here. Now that this is in Philippians chapter 3, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Do you see yourself as one that Christ Jesus has laid hold of? The Savior of the world who wrapped his arms around you, and you too can wrap your arms around him and say, I belong to him. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Every human being can benefit from this one. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. 2018, almost over. I can look back and say, God, thank you for what you've done through this church. But we got more territory. We've got more things that we want to do. And Paul would say here in another scripture that I close with, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, do you realize the Spirit of God indwells the believer? The very presence of Jesus indwells you. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I know some people really look forward to heaven. And they're thinking about heaven more and more. And perhaps that's not a bad thing at all. Paul says, if I depart and be with Christ, far better. However, if I get to serve here, it means an opportunity for me to store basically rewards. I get to be with you. We get to do this together. And God's going to reward us on that day. But Paul would say here, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Do you want to be well pleasing to him? Live by faith. Know what Christ did for you. See God working in all the intricacies of this world. See the way he formed this world. See how he gave his son. See that he wants to glorify you. And he wants to give you a glorified body someday, and he promises to do so. If you don't know Jesus today, please trust him. Please trust him. Please turn to him in faith. And then read your own Bible. And study the Bible with us. We're meeting in that fellowship room Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. We have Bible studies for women, Bible studies for men. We want to grow in this faith so that in 2019, that the word gets out that this church stands on the rock solid foundation of the Word of God, and we are uncompromising about it, and we're getting on the ark while we still have time, right? Because the floods could come, and we want to make sure that anyone who comes into this church has an opportunity to know Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity. I thank you for every person, every person in this room right now, every life, Lord, that's represented, the history, perhaps even the frustration in the life that could be in these seats this morning, the difficulty, the pain, the grief, Lord. But Lord, we recognize this morning that our Savior understands grief and pain. He went to that cross alone. He bled in that garden alone. He prayed in that garden alone. Drops of blood, Lord, poured from his brow. Because he was the only one that could atone for sin. Jesus understands our pain. Father, thank you that you are making all things right, all things new. And that we look forward to this time that we're going to be with our Savior forever and ever and ever. That our hearts will stop breaking. In the meantime, Lord, we have the hope of hopes. And we must stand strong on the hope that you've given to us this morning. Father, I pray that if somebody in this room does not know you, that they would say, this is my day. I'm not leaving this church until I know, like I know, that I have Christ as my Savior. If that's you this morning, you want to make sure that you're saved, just raise up your hand right now. Anybody here want to make sure that they know Christ? It's not embarrassing. This is like, I'm ready for this. This church cares about people. We want people to know the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray, Father, for anyone in this room this morning that needs to know that this would be their day of salvation. I pray for those of us, Lord, who can shrink back at times, that the scripture was clear this morning, that your soul doesn't delight in the one who shrinks back, who continues to somehow say, God can do that for other people, but he can't do that for me. Lord, how dare us think that way? How dare us? My Savior is awesome. And I want people to know him. I want people to experience his great power. That this same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives and abides in each believer. Lord, help us to own what belongs to us as your church, as the people of God who would say, I'm done living like an unbeliever, thinking like an unbeliever. I'm going with God who raises the dead, who promises eternal life free. Whoever would receive him, I pray, Lord, today that they would know that they would once again be renewed in their most holy faith, that this is our precious holy faith that we stand on. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church. Cause us once again to fall completely dependent upon you for the days to come as a church, that Grace Lighthouse Fellowship will be what you want it to be, that you would work in the hearts of every person who is part of this fellowship for your glory. Thank you for the generosity of this church. Thank you for the ways that this church is raising the flag of Christ to the community. That, Lord, that's all we want. We want people to know you. That's all we care about truly, to know you and to be known by you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.